Alrighty. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Coffee Tea with me. Today, it is an honor and a privilege to introduce a warrior from the other side of the ocean. In fact, quite frankly, I believe she was probably the first person we attempted to help in England. So, without further ado, let me introduce to you Ruth. Good morning, Ruth.
Hello there, Mel. Hello, Mel, and everybody else on the call. Lovely to be here.
Okay. Hello, Ruth.
Hi.
Thank you for being here, Ruth.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hello,
oh, Ruth.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Ruth, from another Ruth.
Yes, it's lovely to meet another Ruth.
Well, we have two Ruths currently, both Ruth and. Okay, one's Ram and one's Raw. And you're the original Ruth, I believe. Let's see. Oh, here's one, Ruth. You love this name. Hello, good morning, Rockin' Robin.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
All right. So, Ruth, what anniversary are you, like, approaching? Where are you now? How many years? Like, I'm not sure if it's two or three.
You know, I haven't actually been counting, but I think it's probably two or three, and I'm not sure.
Well, tell us. I mean, I could ask you the same old questions, but why don't you tell us about your journey?
My journey. It's funny because I was thinking about it this morning. As you know, I was having a little bit of a look on the site. And
Hold on a second. We got people jumping in here late, which I'm going to mute everybody and then unmute you. Okay, now. All right, now we're going to get a real clear, uninterrupted recording. So, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, it's strange, but when you get better, you actually stop thinking about the fact that you've been ill. And the longer I've gone on being well, the less I think about it. So when Mel invited me, it just started to get me thinking again. And I actually would like to talk about the question that Mel usually asks people when they come back after they've got well. And he usually, the first question he asks is, how did you find the website? And that's for me. You know, my journey with Morgellons started on Boxing Day 2014. I mean, I will always remember that day. So how many years ago is that? Coming up to 6 years ago. And so I realized that there was something going very wrong and very strange in my body. And like all of us, we're terrified at that point because we know that it's something weird and we don't know what to do about it. And if we start looking online, it only gets more scary. And so I knew that it was something. I didn't know exactly what it was at that stage, but I knew there were possibilities. And in my searching online, I knew that Morgellons was a possibility, or it could be other things. Eventually, I did get myself to a doctor to rule out scabies, and from what the doctor said, it obviously wasn't that. And eventually, I ruled out everything else, and with the help of my daughter's toy microscope, managed to look at one of the bits of debris under the microscope, and my husband and I saw clearly that it was a bundle of fibers. So at that stage, we knew what we were dealing with. And at that stage, I did a good old search online, and I actually typed in to Google, is there a cure for Morgellons, or how do you cure Morgellons? And, of course, Mel's website comes up very, very quickly when you put those words in, which is wonderful, really, really helpful. And I read Mel's story. I thought it was a lovely website, lovely photos, and lovely story, very moving. And then I looked at the protocol, and my heart sank, because I looked at things like silver, and I thought, what's that? And I looked at WPS, and, you know, when I looked these things up, I thought, oh, gosh, that all sounds very scary, because it does when we first, if we're not used to these things. And I looked at the supplements required, and then I looked at the Logos website, and I thought, oh, gosh, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to get stuff from America or all of these extra things. So, sadly, you know, that was probably in January 2014. I just kept looking. I came across a lovely website run by a gentleman called Mr. Common Sense, and found his website very sympathetic and very sensible. And, you know, and I tried to do my own protocol. I tried to, you know, cobble my own stuff together and do a bit of what he did, and as the best I could, and also put into practice some of the things that he suggested. But as the months went on, my symptoms were getting worse. And I had a fungal infection on my tongue in May, which was very unpleasant. And I knew that my body just was not well. I'd had shingles a couple of years before, so I knew that my immune system wasn't great. And I think it was in June when we started to get the hot weather here. We do sometimes get in the UK. In the sunshine, just increased the amount of symptoms I was seeing on my skin. And I started to feel that I needed to reach out, and I needed to be in some sort of a community, that I couldn't do it on my own. So I actually went to other forums, and I would put questions in the forum, and nothing came back, or very unhelpful. So I do have a faith in God. You know, I've been a Christian for many years, and all throughout this time, I was praying, I was asking God for help with it. But that day, I remember there was a certain day when I sat down and I prayed, and I asked God for help in finding a community that I would be able to join and get some help and support from. And then I went online, and I just thought, I'm going to have another look at Mel's website. And so I had a look, and I thought, I'm just going to have another look at their forum, because I had been, you know, I had had little looks before, but not a huge amount. And I went on the forum that day, and right at the top, the very top post was, welcome to the UK and all of Europe. And at that point, I thought, oh my goodness, I could be here. They welcome people from the UK. I honestly, before that, I wasn't sure that it would be possible. But just the fact that, and the post that Mel had put there, which was actually about people in the UK and Europe reaching out to each other and supporting each other. So I felt that God had clearly spoken to me, and that this was the place to be. So at that point, I started reading through the website properly, because I read the instructions at the top, and Mel said, read the protocol, read the FAQs, and then read the forum. And if I'm going to do something, I have the sort of personality that wants to do it right. I'm probably a slight perfectionist, slightly obsessional, which can have its strengths and weaknesses. In this instance, it probably was a help to me, because I, after reading those things and printing stuff out, I went right back to the beginning of the forum, which Mel, I know that Mel doesn't advise now, but at that stage, the forum wasn't so long, and I did actually go back right to the very, very first years from, well, from when Mel first was posting about being getting well. And I read the stories of all the people on there, and I grew to love them, because through reading their posts about their journey, their personalities, their characters came through, and they started to feel like friends to me. And so people like Teresa and Justin and Monica and Peter and Ellen, all of these people, I started to get to know them, and I started to read from where they were ill to where they started to get better. So at that stage, I, you know, this was, it took me weeks. It took me weeks to read the forum. But as I was getting into it, I put my first post to introduce myself. And Mary responded to that post, which was just wonderful. You know, I put a post in. I wasn't sure if anybody would reply to me. But Mary replied.
Mary is better as well, you know.
Yes, that's wonderful.
All your posts from back then, they were here last Saturday. Are you with me? Oh, we lost Ruth. Hello? Well, we'll have to hang on a minute now, because somehow we lost the connection, which happens. She still shows that she's here. Ruth, oh, no, she had to. She'll be calling back in. Hang on, I knew something went wrong. Oh boy. All right. Okay, so what I think I'll do is I'll just continue to get attendance until she calls back in. But obviously there was an issue with the phone over there as it went dead. So let me say, good morning, Catherine. Oh, here she is. No, wait a minute. I don't know who that is, but all right. Area code 414, who's that?
Hi, Mel, it's Lee.
Hi, Lee. Sorry, we lost our guest for a minute, so I'm going to try to do some attendance here until we get her back. 928, good morning. Who's that? Area code 928, just your first name.
Oh, hi. It's Ellie.
Hi, Ellie. Okay, and then we have Anonymous, which could be Timothy or could be No Speaky. And let's see. No Speaky, obviously. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hey, Mel.
Oh, hopefully that's our guest. There we go. You all right, Ruth?
Sorry, Mel. My internet connection's really bad today.
That's okay. It really is no problem at all. We just kind of continue to take attendance because so many more people joined after you started. All right, so I was telling you that Mary was all better and that a bunch of them were here last Saturday, including Ellie and Kelly and, I mean, Ellen and Kelly and I don't know. Peter was here last week too. Anyway.
Yes, I heard the call. It was lovely.
You go ahead and you continue with your story.
Oh, yeah. So I was saying that Mary was so kind and responded to me, and I just felt so accepted and loved. Pardon?
You know the date, because I know the date.
I don't know the date.
How about July 27th, 2015?
Yeah, well, that sounds right. You've got such good records, Mel. You're amazing. And I put a post up, you know, asking if there were people in the UK, you know, and Mary suggested that I email you to see if you would connect me with some other people in the UK with some telephone numbers. And I did send you an email. And I expected, you know, I hoped to get a reply by email. What I didn't expect was to get a telephone call from Mel, from America to the UK. I mean, I was absolutely amazed. And I was a little bit overwhelmed, really. But Mel did his wonderful first telephone call, which he does with people, which is to say, get a pen and a paper. And don't talk too much. Write down what I'm going to tell you. And so I did. And it'll have been the same with everybody about the diet and changing that. What things to cut out, what to get sorted out, and reading and printing stuff off and everything. And at that stage, well, I'd already made the decision that I was in. And the thing was for me, and I think the issue for a lot of people is when they come and look at the website, they think, how do I know that this is going to work? How do I know that this is not a scam? Why is this gentleman doing all this and not asking for any money for it? How can it be as good as it says it is? And, you know, to be honest, all of those things were going through my head and I wasn't sure that this was going to get me better. But what I was sure about was that God wanted me there. That's what I was sure about. Because of the way that God had led me to the website, I knew I was in the place God wanted me to do and that therefore I was going to do the protocol absolutely the best I possibly could. And so, you know, from that date, talking to Mel on the phone, I immediately dropped eating all the things that he said. And I've never eaten them again, ever. I think the only thing, I mean, we'll probably get on to like, well, what do you eat now? And all that kind of stuff. And obviously, when you get better, you can adjust things and you can try things out. But for that period when we're ill, it's just got to be absolutely, completely as it needs to be. And so I think that was all my initial thoughts to say, Mel, which was really how I got there, how I got to you, and why I stuck to it regardless, no matter what.
One question for you, and then I'll open the floor to questions about this part, okay? You were here in the time that Michael and I, Mr. Common Sense, were friends. And I believe you were part of our website when he came to visit our website on a Saturday and said that if he ever got sick again, he would do my protocol. Do you remember that?
I don't think I was on the call because it took me a while to get, you know, the whole thing of Skype conference call sorted, but I listened to that call and I'm sure I cried because that gentleman, you know, seemed such a wonderful man, and the fact that you two were friends, it was just a confirmation, really. Yes, and the fact that he said he would do your protocol, amazing, really.
I thought it was because I didn't solicit him to say that. He just showed up one day on a call, and I just gave him the floor because he was the only person I ever told my people to take a look at, ever.
Really?
He was trying to do it in a similar fashion with all natural products.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And I wrote, you know, I wrote down everything I could of what he did. I made a long list of it, and I did everything that I could. But you see, I didn't get better from that either.
Well, it's so many things that people don't see when I say the sum of the parts. Okay? And, I mean, people just don't understand that anxiety is a huge part of hindering health. And they don't see that the water that we tell them, and I don't drink enough water. Okay, I mean, I'm supposed to drink 100 ounces a week. I think I hit it once this month. You know, maybe. I get to 60 ounces. But you got to do all these things to get better. And when I was sick, let me tell you, that was the only thing I ever drank was water. End of story. So, I mean, oh, that's wrong. I had tea sometimes. I had all these antioxidant teas I was experimenting with. Okay, Ruth, you want to continue or do you want to see if anybody has a question about this part?
Well, we could have a break for questions. Then, you know, they're not listening to my voice forever and ever.
No. Everyone loves it because I'm sure Freddie Bean, who I'm going to let go first, okay, loves it because her and Chrissy are the only, you know, real Euro accents, and everybody loves to listen to them. Freddie, what do you have to say here to our friend?
You put me on the spot. Oh, hello, Ruth.
Hello, lovely to talk to you.
Yes, likewise. I have really enjoyed your story so far, and my story is very similar. I liked the bit when you were saying about the silver and the WPS. And it's like, oh my goodness, do people honestly hate this? And I was exactly the same. That was one of the things that I was thinking, no, that's not normal. And the same with getting medicines out to England. I thought, that can't be, it won't happen. But of course it did. You know, and, you know, we are so lucky to have found Mel and his website, because there's no way I would be getting better if I hadn't.
Yeah, that's great that you're here.
Thanks, Freddie. Thank you so much. Do you remember the first person I had you talk to, Ruth?
The first person that you had me talk to? Well, there were a couple of guys in the UK.
Right.
Or do you mean on Skype?
Well, I don't know how you went about it, but I know the very first one was Sean.
Yeah, Sean and Jimmy. You gave me Sean and Jimmy's numbers.
Jeremy emailed me this past week.
Oh, how is he?
Well, he was asking about a new manufacturer for WPS.
Ah, right.
I asked him why, and he told me because he'll never get the diet, and when he eats things wrong, the only way to calm it down is to juice them with the WPS.
Oh, no, that boy.
You know those boys. They couldn't give up the pub, honey.
So, I know Sean would not stop smoking or drinking, but you know, Jimmy's doing really well. I'm in touch with Jimmy, and he's doing really well.
That's really good. All right. All righty, so anybody else have a question about the early part? Because now's the right time to ask. Okay, nobody else has a question. All right, Ruth, continue, hon. Oh, I muted it by accident. I'm sorry, Ruth. I thought it was no speaking.
Yeah, and of course, there's nothing you can do about it. Then you're sort of like, oh. That's great. So, in terms then of my story, when I started, the diet was in July, you know, started everything and ordered the pills from Logos and looked for a source of silver and and the WPS was fine at that stage from the website, and, you know, ordered all of these things. I was pretty much alone. Well, I know, I've got to say, apart from the website, I was completely on my own. My husband knew what it was, but he's a medical doctor, or he's retired now, and he was really quite freaked out about it. I think he looked on different websites and was really, he just couldn't really cope with the whole thing. Mel tried to talk to him, but really he was not, he wasn't great at supporting me at that stage, and he really didn't ask me how I was doing. He didn't want to know about my symptoms because he said it just made him worried. He really didn't want me taking the silver or the WPS. And for, you know, for weeks and weeks, he said, I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to do it. So there was a, you know, a little bit of discord between us. But thankfully, eventually, God did sort of give him reassurance that he was to just let me do it. He was just to let me try it. And so at least then there was a little bit more marital harmony going on. He's much more supportive about the whole thing now. You know, in retrospect, he can handle it. You see, I don't always think that our friends and relatives can handle it. And that can be so hard for us because we really want that support from people. But the fact is they're freaked out by it quite often. And really, I think at the time I didn't tell anybody else. Absolutely nobody else. So I was really, my only source of support was the website. And I've made the decision I was going to do it, but I didn't find it easy. And in my innocence, because I'd read Ellen's story, you know, and I'd read about her getting better, you know, by night. I think she was nearly at the end of her journey when I was just starting, and she'd got better in 9 months. And so I thought, well, I'm probably never going to be as good at it as Ellen, but you know, I'm going to set myself, you know, that I'm going to just stick to this diet for a year. Again, in my innocence, I thought, after a year of doing this very strict diet, then hopefully I'll be better, and then I'll be able to add in, oh, maybe, you know, a Kit Kat once a month. You know, it's like that was, you know, that was the thought. Or a piece of cake, maybe, once a month. Because I was pretty well addicted to carbohydrates, I think, because of the cravings I had when I stopped them. And I was a chocolate girl, which eat chocolate every day. If I was out at a cafe, having lunch at a cafe, I would have a piece of cake and a cup of coffee, you know, rather than a salad or anything healthy. So, you know, that was me. So I sort of thought, oh, okay, I'm going to do this for a year, and then I'll probably be loads better, hopefully. I viewed it as a mountain climb, and I thought, because I think Teresa talked about you've got to get your big boots on. So I really literally felt that each morning when I woke up, it was like, right, I've got to do it for another day. I've got to do everything another day. Get out of bed, get my boots on. And just, it was literally that hard for me to just stick at it. And then at the end of the day, I said, right, I did it another day. And then the next day I would wake up, right, I've got to do it another day. And that was how I went. And I ticked off the weeks and I ticked off the month. You know, I got through a third of the year, then I got through a half of the year. And, you know, and but as you go through, after about 5 months or so, you know, well, I've got to say, just cutting out all the carbohydrates immediately calms everything down in the body. I used to eat a lot of sugar. So just cutting that out, immediately things start to calm down. And then after the first month, then starting the extra stuff and starting the WPS, which I didn't enjoy. You know, I don't think any of us enjoy it, do we? But I was determined that I was going to handle it. I was determined I was going to do it. I remember putting a post up and saying, you know, how do you drink the WPS? Because it smells really bad. I think somebody replied, don't smell it.
Somebody replied, use ice cold water and don't breathe.
Yes. I mean, so I just had to learn, you know, you just have to learn how to do it, don't you? That, you know, I think one person said, you know, pinch your nose. It's very difficult to do that and drink at the same time. But basically, you know, I would draw a breath away from the glass, and then I would just gulp it all down, all in one go, and just think of it like, you know, well, it doesn't matter what it tastes like. But if you don't smell it, it actually doesn't taste very much, especially when you're at very few drops. I mean, I was wimpy. This was only like about one or two drops, you know, and I was, you know, making a fuss about it. But I was a little bit scared because, as Peter said last week, you know, in the early days, people used to go up to a high number of drops and not be so well on it sometimes. And that scared me a bit. But I was determined. And so as I went through getting up to higher doses of the WPS, of course, you get up to, you know, after being on it for about 6 months, and you've been actually feeling a little bit better, but then you start getting, well, I started having symptoms and stuff coming out that I'd never seen before. So, you know, again, it can be quite scary. And I remember putting posts up. I decided at the beginning that I would put up a post every month and just to keep updating how I was doing, what my symptoms were, how I was getting on with the diet, how I was coping psychologically, emotionally, spiritually with the whole thing. And because I had benefited so much from other people doing that, I thought, well, that's something I can do. And also it benefited me to just get it down. Somehow writing about it was actually really helpful for me to do that. And when I did sort of put, you know, about the slightly scary symptoms, there was always the reassurance that, yeah, this is normal, this happens to everybody. I also at that stage went back to people's journeys, like Monica, who so helpfully posted every week. I don't know how she did it, but she did a weekly post. So I could so easily just think, you know, where was I up to? What week number was I up to? And then I could just go and read her post of what week number she, you know, was doing at that stage, and read, you know, maybe a bit before, a bit after that number of weeks. And just to be able to compare, just to be able to be a bit reassured that, yeah, when we don't have exactly the same journeys, but a lot of things are similar. And it can just be so helpful to read and just to sort of know that other people have gone through the same things. So that was what I found really helpful. And as I came up to the end of the first year, what I found was that I had started to get into a rhythm. That whereas at the beginning, it was like every day just seemed never ending and I just had to press on through that day, I actually started to get into a routine, into a rhythm, where it was actually just starting to become much more normal for me. And I actually stopped counting, you know, how much further. By the time I got up to that end of that first year, you know, through the first Christmas, which is always a bit grim, you know, when I'm cooking for everybody else, cooking exactly the same things that I do because I'm the cook for family, people come to me, but I'm not eating it. And then, you know, get through that and then come into another summer again, up to the first year. I then realise it's going to take longer than a year. I realise actually I can just keep going because this has become part of my life, and I'm starting to feel loads better. So not
and
just
you know what happened in that time frame?
No.
We started to Skype.
Oh, we did, didn't we? Yes, that's right. And that's when Lynn was around, and I used to Skype Lynn.
I was with you on your first Christmas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? You want me to produce the evidence?
I remember the following Christmas, I sent you a little gift.
Yeah, I know. They don't know that story. Okay. Ruth can really cook. She can really bake. And I told her I hadn't had a good lemon meringue pie since my grandma passed away. She made me a lemon meringue pie and tried sending it across the ocean. And the damn postman ate the whole damn thing, left me a piece of crumb. When I opened the package, that must have been opened more than once. Okay, all that was there was this little piece of crust. It's true, right, Ruth?
Well, when I sent it, it was, I mean, I did slightly fear for its safety in the mail, but I think I'd put it in, you know, like a plastic, proper, like Tupperware container, and I'd wrapped it all around really, really carefully. And I thought, well, I don't know what it's going to be like when it arrives, but I didn't expect it to be eaten. I mean, that is true.
I think that, you know, that when it's so well packaged, that it's too much curiosity. But anyway, story.
Anyway,
I ever saw was this empty container with a little piece of crust. There was not even a thank you note.
Oh, dear. Well, let's hope the person...
Hey, one of the new Ruths has made me cookies and sent them to me. She can bake, too. And the good news is that, I don't know, it's like she wrapped it like a used car, so nobody touched it.
Ah, that was clever.
Brown paper, string, you know, the whole nine yards.
Very good.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let me let you continue. But this was great, the lemon meringue pie. I almost forgot about it. I mean, you know, that's like the greatest pie that was never eaten by me.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So I found that after a year that I wasn't at the top of the mountain. I thought I would have been right on the top of the mountain and thought, phew, that's over. But I found that I was on, you know, one of those sort of things that you think the top, but then you see, oh, right, there's a little bit more to climb. But by that stage, I wasn't sure, I have to be honest, I wasn't sure that the protocol was going to get me better. And that's not being negative, it's just being honest. I mean, Mel and Peter would tell me, Ruth, you're in the 90%. You're in the 90% of people who participate in the calls, right on the forum, and 90% of those people get well. But, you know, I know that next to 90%, there's 10%. So, you know, and what I knew was God had told me to be here. God had told me to do everything that was said on the site. So whenever I wavered, you know, and I did, I did waver. I did sometimes, I was a little unsure, you know, how was I going to get on?
Cheat on your diet.
I just stuck at it, you know, because I thought, I'm not here because I know 100% that I'm going to get well. I'm here because I know this is the right place. This is the right thing to do. And God, please help me to get well. But if I don't, I'm still doing it. And I'm, you know, this is the right place to be. So, I mean, I'm just being honest that was the attitude that I had. And that is why I never stopped. I never gave up. And Mel always says, never give up. Never give up hope. So I knew that no matter how long it took or whatever happened, I would just stick at it because this is what God told me to do and this is what Mel's telling me to do, and therefore I keep at it. And then I think it got through to the second year. Well, I got the whole thing about the WPS. I got to a certain number of drops where I had a really bad stomach ache. And I'm such a scaredy, wimpy sort of person that I immediately took some vitamin C, because that was how to just stop the whole thing. And, you know, and then put a post on the forum about it. And, you know, and at that stage, it was like, well, that's enough drops. And then, you know, you drop down to your maintenance dose. The thing about the WPS is that we just have to follow Mel's advice on it. We have to keep him updated on how we're doing on it. And whatever he says, he's the expert. That's what we do. And so then I just stuck at the number of drops that he told me to stick at. And I never had a huge problem with the WPS. Occasionally, it made me feel a little bit sickly. You know, I have to say, occasionally I threw up. But that may be something that I ate, you know, maybe too much of. And it wasn't a regular thing. But occasionally, yeah, I did feel a little bit yucky. But sometimes, you know, that is our body detoxing as well. And sometimes I would have difficulty, you know, just sort of be a little bit short of breath, something like that. You know, all of these sort of things. I think if we're ever scared about it, we just have to talk to Mel about it. Because the body is detoxing, it's getting rid of stuff, and sometimes that can just make us feel a bit yucky, make us feel a bit old-fashioned word, a bit liverish. Our own bodies used to kind of drink some herbal teas, you know, sometimes if I just, in the day. Because I was working all through this time, I was working as a piano teacher. So I would be having parents and children coming in and out of my house most evenings and at work and, you know, working with symptoms happening, stuff coming out of my skin. It was all happening. But, you know, I managed to hold on to that job, which due to COVID, I'm now not doing anymore. But I'm retired now, so that's a blessing in a way, really. But at that time, it was a full-on time. I had children still at home, you know, going through, you know, education, and then youngest child going off to university. And I know I'm not the only one, you know, that we normal life continues alongside all these things. I remember when I was... it was before I was on the protocol, I had to take my daughter away to uni for the first time. I didn't even want to walk in her room, you know, for fear that I left stuff in her room. Things like that can just make us, you know, quite sort of anxious, can't they? And but fortunately, she's an independent girl. So she said, Mama, you know, I said, do you need help with unpacking? Because, you know, you want to offer. And she says, no, I'll do it. Because I think she thought Mum will put it all in weird places. So it was like, okay, then let's go out for a meal and then I'll say bye. So things just kind of, I just carried on in that routine on that maintenance dose, probably for about 2 years. And then the whole thing came up that, again, my youngest daughter, who did marine biology at uni, she needed to do stuff for her CV, and she decided that she wanted to go and save the turtles in Greece. So she wanted to go and volunteer and work for this organization that that helped turtles when they're laying their eggs on the beach. So she went over to Greece for 6 weeks, and I'm thinking, oh no, I'm not going to see my little girl for 6 weeks. I really want to go and visit her while she's out there. And my eldest daughter said, oh, I'll come too. So the two of us decided that we would go out to Greece for a week. And then I had this big thing of, oh, I'm not sure I can take WPS on an aircraft. I'm not sure if that's going to be okay. So I remember talking about it on a conference call, and Peter and Mel saying, well, you know, just leave it. Don't take, you know, stop taking it while you're in Greece and see how you get on. And And so that was fine. I carried on with everything else, took all my supplements and everything. I think I, did I take a list of, I think I didn't worry about that, actually. I think I just took. And then when I came back from Greece, having had a one time, I just decided I'm not going to take it anymore. With Mel's advice, just decided, let's just see how you get on without it. And I was actually fine for quite a long time. I didn't say, for it was about 3 months, you know, stopping taking it for 3 months, waiting to see if I had any symptoms, as Mel had done. And at the end of those 3 months, still no symptoms. So basically at that stage, you know, said that I felt I was better. So that was amazing. And it is amazing when you get to that point. I mean, before then, I'd always thought, oh, I'm 97, oh, I'm 99. And you never quite know, because maybe once in a while there's a little something you feel or see, but then really nothing for that amount of time. I was sticking to the diet really pretty well, but what I didn't realize was that I was still probably eating too many carbs. It was around about that time that Karen, lovely Karen, was talking about counting carbs, and I was reading those posts. But truly, by that stage, I was actually a little bit lazy. And I just thought, oh, well, you know, that's for people who are, you know, starting out now. I know what I'm doing with the diet. I'll just carry on with what I'm doing. But there was a little niggle in my mind. And I think it was probably God was just sort of, you know, giving me a little bit, because I did sometimes think about it. And then I think it was about 6 months later, I started to feel a few little niggly symptoms, nothing massive, but I did start to feel something. And this is quite a number of months. I can't remember exactly when it was, at what stage.
Hold on, I'll tell you. Hang on.
Okay.
You asked for Toyota. Hold on a second here. All right. Looks like February of 17.
Right. That's great. Well done, Mel. Oh, gosh, maybe I'd eaten too many things at Christmas. I don't know. Anyway, you know, Mel just said no problem. I mean, basically, you know, he said no problem. Just go back on the WPS. And he told me what drops to go back on to start and how to build it up and where to stop.
And I also told you to tighten up my diet.
Yes, I'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay.
I have to say, emotionally, I found it hard. I think I felt a failure, because having said that you're better, and then I found it a little bit hard emotionally, knowing quite how to handle it. And I didn't want to cause any sort of fear in people or discouragement. But, you know, Mel was incredibly reassuring and just, yeah, tighten up your diet and you'll be fine. So it was at that stage that I actually started to look at the counting carbs. And it's like anything new, when you start it, it just feels like, ooh, this feels like quite a lot of work, because I had to look at what I was eating and I had to look at the amounts I was eating. And sometimes I had to measure the amounts I was eating and then count how many carbs was in everything and then count up each day how many did it come to. Now, I discovered that I've been doing a very naughty thing. I feel really quite embarrassed to say it, but I'm going to say it because, you know, I think it's good to be honest. I had got into the habit of, when I was out at a cafe, of having a latte. because I do love coffee, do love proper coffee, and I do love milky coffee. And I thought that once I was well, that that would be okay to do that. But when I looked at how many carbs were in milk and in the amount that they would put in a latte, so this is not added sugar, but just the milk, I was shocked at how much sugar there is in milk. So I thought, okay, well, that's something where I've really gone wrong on.
You know, let me interrupt you. Today, from what we learned from the past, is we tell everybody to take all the foods that they want to eat and put them in a Google search, do any of these foods turn to sugar? And people will be amazed at what they're putting in themselves that they don't realize when it metabolizes in the body, it's going to wind up being sugar. So that, you and listen, I know you like the tea and the biscuits. I knew when you were in a cafe, it was all over. It was whipped cream on top of the latte. Please.
You know, I've never eaten the cookies. I've never eaten the biscuits. But it was like that was my little treat. But what I do now is, I mean, I stopped coffee for a while. When I was not so good again, I stopped the coffee because I was stressed. And also had an elderly mother with dementia, which is a whole other issue, and a very stressful period of my life at that time, which probably contributed to it. So I stopped the coffee. I do drink coffee again, though. I drink coffee again. But what I do now is, and I'm hoping that this is all right, but I put a teeny weeny bit of thick cream in it, which doesn't have any sugar. It's just, you know, pure cream. And I think, well, cream, they make that into butter. So I'm hoping that that's okay, but it's all right. My body seems to be fine with it. And so I really do enjoy having two cups of coffee a day. I think just even, I discovered that like broccoli has carbs in it. So measuring the amount of broccoli that I would eat for a portion and working out how many carbs is in that, I did it as absolutely quite obsessionally and just looked at everything that I ate. You know, onions have a certain amount of carbs in, and I studied Karen's posts about it and really worked hard at it. So I keep it to 30 grams of carbs or under every day, and that seems to be fine. My body has adjusted to that amount of food. I very rarely feel hungry. I possibly, you know, in terms of my diet, you know, I could eat less meat. I'm very fond of cheese, the aged mature cheddar, you know, so I occasionally have a little bit of cheese on a very low carb cracker. That's a real treat. But I make sure that whatever I have fits into that 30 grams of carbs a day. And I'm very grateful to God that I am well, that I'm keeping well, you know, on that regime at the moment. Last Christmas, I had something that I hadn't had since I'd, you know, been ill. Every Christmas for the family, I make something which here is called Millionaire's Shortbread. I mean, it's really unhealthy stuff. It's like, it's got like a layer of shortbread, then a layer of caramel, all homemade, and then a layer of chocolate. And thing is, you know, the family knows that that was sort of like a tradition that I made it every year. And that's the only time I ever make it. Well, I think I had about like a centimeter square of it last Christmas. And it was actually too sweet. It's like, ooh, I'm not sure I want that really. But, you know, I'm well, and just occasionally I think it's okay to have something that you really, really love when you're better, as long as it's, as Mel says, in moderation. And that was like a teeny, teeny, tiny. I never really do anything else like that. Occasionally it's like I really miss some marmalade. I used to like toast with marmalade on. Maybe an English thing, I don't know. And I could talk about cravings. I haven't talked about that. That's sort of like another little story. But occasionally, you know, because I've got marmalade for visitors, and I'll just smell the jar, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's a really nice smell. And it's like, I don't need to eat it. It's almost like, you know, remind myself what that smells like. So anyway, I'm rambling on, and I maybe ought to just have a little stop and see if anybody wants to say anything.
All right. Well, I didn't think you were rambling on, but I certainly, it sounded like true confessions to me. All right. Now, if anybody has a question, this is a great time to ask. We're two-thirds away through this show. If you've got a question, I can't believe that nobody here has a question. Good, there we go. All right, this guy always has great questions. Get ready, Ruth. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, Mel, thank you. And Ruth, thank you very much for being here for me and everybody else. I appreciate it. I have a few questions. The first one is, how long did you have the M disease before you started the WPS?
Well, I started with the disease on Boxing Day for 2014, and then I started on the protocol ordered the pills in July. So it would have started August. So you're looking at 8 months.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. My next question is, was mold involved in your environment?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, you know, I realized I needed to check the house for mold, that was part of getting better. And so I went looking. I went looking behind fridges and found mold. I went looking in bathrooms, underneath toilet cisterns, which you can get a lot of condensation on, and I found thick layers of black mold. I mean, it makes me embarrassed, you know, to think that I hadn't cleaned that thoroughly, but I just went through it. Also, we live in a fairly old house, going back to 1800s, and there isn't really proper, you know, modern damp proof coating. On one wall, there was a lot of mold, and so yeah, I slowly had to deal with these things. I couldn't always deal with them quickly because I had to sort of work through situations with my family, work through financial situations. But eventually, what year was it? I think it was 2017. That whole wall, and it was a whole outside wall of the house, quite a long wall, just a builder came in and just did something that just added an extra, or got rid of all the old plaster, the moldy plaster, and then just started it again, and in a way which doesn't cause condensation to form at all. And the house is much, much better because of that. And then he did the same thing on an outside wall upstairs that I was concerned about, just kind of got a bit of black mold growing on it. And he did the same thing there. So, and also I found that a lot of the windowsills, where there was some condensation, tended to grow some black mold on those. So I just had a phase of daily going around all the windows, spraying with Clean Green, wiping everything up with a tissue, and just getting rid of it. And in the room where I sleep, treating that with WPS on the saucer, and leaving the room for the day just to try and get rid of anything in there. So I think now, you know, I'm pretty well mold free, but it's taken quite a lot of work and quite a bit of time, Donald.
Okay, Ruth, thank you. Now the next question would be, how many drops of WPS did you take when you maxed out?
Well, that's irrelevant today. Wait a minute. That's irrelevant to today because it's not taken the same way. But you can tell them.
Yeah, I know it's different now. It was 17. That was when I stopped.
But that was once.
So
one,
I went back.
That was once a day, right, Ruth?
Yeah, that was when we took it before we went to bed.
Okay. Did you herx?
Yeah, I had, when I was up to 17 drops, there was one night I had really bad
curse
stomach pain. And I never did that. I knew I would never ever do that. But I was scared. And it was the middle of the night, and I took some vitamin C, and I had made sure that I had some, you know, ready, because if anything happened that I was scared about. So I just took the vitamin C.
You were getting ready for the big herx because you had the vitamin C close at hand.
Oh, yes.
So you were having indications at 16 and 17. We don't do that anymore because we can get them there without really putting them through what you and I had to go through.
I know. And I think that that's lovely, that it's a more gentle way. I think that's lovely. I think, you know, do people, you know, I don't know if people think that, oh, but I want to go up higher. I think the thing is, you've got to trust Mel. Mel knows what he's doing, and he doesn't want anybody to be hurt or, you know, be made any worse and do any damage. And, you know, there is that sense of putting too much pressure on the body to detox too much too quick can just make people very poorly. So I think we just got to listen to Mel. And the protocol has always changed, you know, from the very beginning. It's always been tweaked, changed, and just made better all the time.
All right, Don. I'm going to move on. I'll try to come back if you got more. Go ahead. Let's see. Ruth Ann, right?
Hi, Ruth. This is Ruth Ann.
Hello, Beth.
I love your accent like I love Freddie Bean's accent. You sound just like her. You do. Yeah, you do. At least in my observation, you do. But I've also been a baker pretty much all my life. But I have had to stop baking because of other issues besides the problems I'm having with Morgellons. But I just am getting over shingles. Did you say you had shingles, or am I not hearing right?
Yes, I had shingles in 2012. So that was a couple of years before I got Morgellons.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had shingles. It's a horrible thing, isn't it?
Did you have it? You've never had it since. Mel said I probably would never get it again because I'm on the protocol.
I have never had it since, for which I am very grateful.
Praise the Lord for that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ruth Ann's day, Ruth. You just made her day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, we're building our immune system up, aren't we?
Yeah.
I was very depleted, at that time that I got it. You know, obviously my diet was terrible. My father had died the year before. I was having to look after my mom, you know, and support her, and she was developing dementia and, you know, all of these things. And my nails just went into shreds and my hair was terrible. You know, my body was just, you know, a really low web.
Shutting down.
Yes.
Yeah, shutting down.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions here at this time? Hit star 5. Let's get them in. Star 5 now. Forever hold your peace. Up. Oh, here we go. Okay, Donald. Got another one. Go ahead, buddy. Donald, come in.
Okay, sorry. I was just wondering, Ruth, did you do any vaccines or antibiotics before you got the M disease?
I'm just trying to think if there was. I've probably had a course of antibiotics a few years before. I'm just trying to think what year it was. maybe a couple of years before, I'd had a chest infection and I'd been given some antibiotics. I hadn't had a vaccine immediately before, but I do remember that I had probably the last vaccine I ever had, because I didn't know any better, was a tetanus one, probably about 10 years ago or something like that. So I've not had any vaccine since then. And, so I'm not sure that was part of it, part of getting it. I'm not sure. But certainly, as a child, I had huge amounts of penicillin because I had recurrent tonsillitis. So certainly, as a younger person, I did have a lot of antibiotics.
All righty then. Next up is Rockin' Robin.
Yes, I just wondered now, I know you said 2 years, but was it 2 or 3 years from the time that you started the website before you got well? How long was it?
Me?
No, I'm talking about Ruth. How long before? Was it two or 3 years?
From the time you found the website. After I found the website, it took me, because, you know, it takes a little while, doesn't it, just to kind of get everything ordered, you know, and get your head around what you've got to order. So I think I started on the protocol in August, and I think it was probably about 2.5 years by the time I was saying I'm better.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, next is... Catherine of the Desert.
Yes, hi. It's so good to hear what you have to say. You have so much good information and really enjoy having you on here today. I just wanted to ask you, did you lose any hair when you had this?
No, I didn't, Catherine. I know I sort of, you know, especially before I probably found Mel looking at other websites and, you know, scaring stuff. I know that other people had a lot of problems with their hair. I mean, I think I did have the sort of the sensation that my hair was moving a bit, but I never lost it. I never had to shave my head or anything like that. It just, you know, my hair was just a bit of a mess. But it's all fine now.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Carrie Ann and Joe. Carrie Ann and Joe.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Ruth, for being here and sharing your story. My wife is actually suffering from Morgellons in the line, and I'm just here to be supportive and listen on the calls, and I love the warrior stories, especially yours. One, ask, and I like to know of with warriors, are you, and maybe I missed this, so apologies, but are you, what are you doing for, like, ongoing maintenance now that you're better? Are you still taking the basic protocol? Are you still taking any WPS? Are there any of the supplements you're just particularly focusing in on to shore up any gaps that you're noticing when you do have, like, a symptom or something that comes?
Well, I'm on the basic protocol, and I will keep taking that, you know, for as long as I'm ever able to. I also have carried on taking the olive leaf extract, and also I don't take the Candida Rid because I'm kind of...
Hold on a second.
See how many bottles fit.
Okay, you're breaking up a little. Hold on a second. Take a deep breath and try to say that again. Okay. As we often do, we have technical
difficulties. Yeah, I continue to take the basic support. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay. Yes, Joe, sorry about that. I take the basic protocol. And because the pills come international shipping, in an international shipping envelope, there's only so many bottles that will fit in there. I think it's about 10. And on top of the basic protocol, I take the joint marvel to protect my joints as I get a bit older, and I also take Eve's Harmony. So with those extra ones and the basic protocol, that's basically what fits in the envelope. So I do take olive leaf extract because it just feels right for me to do that. And I also take something similar to Candida Rid, as the best I could sort of find, accessible in the UK because of not being able to have all the extra bottles in the bag. And I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. I don't take the WPS anymore, but I would if I had some sort of illness that I felt was going to benefit from it. So I've got it there ready if I need it. I think that's it, really.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think it's important, and especially as we get older and the food that is grown doesn't contain the same vitamins and minerals as maybe it did. Although I'm into wild sort of foraging, and so some of those things that you can pick up from the wild, the salad leaves and things like that, they can sometimes be more nutritious, dandelion leaves and stuff like that. So I'm into all that now. But that's another story.
Great. Thank you, Ruth.
She now eats like a rabbit, don't you, girl?
I eat exactly like a rabbit.
I understand. I just lost 30 pounds in like under 4 months. And it was just, knocking out all the carbs. Just got to knock out all the carbs. Okay, and now I feel so much better physically and stronger. So I understand. I mean, and I love salads. I mean, I can do more with salads than people can do with a meal. I just really enjoy them.
Yeah.
And I grow... as you probably remember, Ruth, I grow a lot of my own herbs and spices.
Yes, that's great.
I mean, right now, I've got purple basil, green basil. I got Greek oregano, which I never had until about a year or so ago, which is really different but very flavorful. Spicy Italian oregano, something that you would love. I know you know what it is. Lemon balm mint.
One of my favorites.
I grow that myself. 4 different kinds of lettuce, cherry tomatoes. Now, Ruth, catch this. In a 17-inch terracotta plastic pot, I have a 6-foot Brussels sprout tree.
What?
Yeah, it's taken me 2 years because of the difference in the amount of light. 6 foot, it's bigger than I am. I couldn't lift it anymore. 6-foot plant, tree, whatever. And I'll probably have Brussels sprouts for Christmas. Now it's a lot
wonderful.
I am, I'll tell you.
Wow.
Anyhow, well, we have a lull in the questions, so if you'd like to continue or end up the story as we get closer to the time, the 90 minutes that you said you could give. I don't want to keep you too late.
Yeah, okay. Well, there was something that I was thinking about today, which was how to cope with cravings in the diet. And I think that they can hit us just suddenly and be quite difficult to know how to react to. And for me, it was a bit of a revelation one day, because I was just going about my normal business, and then suddenly I had a huge desire to eat toast and butter, hot toast and melted butter. And I thought, well, that's weird. Where has that come from? Because, I haven't eaten it for such a long time. I actually thought that, and this may sound a little bit crazy, but I actually thought that it was the disease. So somehow communicating with my mind in a desperate manner to get me to eat something that would feed it. And thinking about it like that just made, I don't know, it just helped, because I realized that those thoughts, they weren't my own thoughts. And I know that maybe that sounds a little bit weird, but it was what I felt at the time. But it was the disease really having like a last desperate cry, trying to get me to feed it and to sustain its life. And I thought, no, I'm going to kill you. I'm not going to feed you. I'm going to kill you. And so, that really helped me just to know how to deal with those moments when, you know, you might feel there's a bit of a low ebb and think, oh, gosh, I just want to go and eat that thing. Remember, that's the disease speaking.
Let me tell you something. I have many times told people the disease has a consciousness. And that's when they all think, oh, it's really nuts. But
I will
believe that this disease somehow is able to communicate with itself, and in these desperate attempts, when the last little sucker may be alive, he's still trying to get you to do something to feed him so he can reproduce.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's far-fetched, Ruth. But then again, everyone thinks I'm a little, out there.
Yeah. Well, it does sound a little bit sci-fi, doesn't it?
Sci-fi. This disease is the worst sci-fi movie ever made. It's worse than the Blob.
I know. I want people to be encouraged and to know that it is possible to get better. And I know that everybody says that, but it is. But the problem is, it isn't easy, is it? And but just decide that, you're going to kill it, that you're not going to give up, and that you are going to win the battle, even if it takes longer than you think. And and just to make those right decisions and just to stick with it, absolutely strictly, and you will get through it. And I remember, giving up chocolate, although I can now eat 90% chocolate, like a 10-gram square. That's all I have, 10-gram square, and I can eat that. But for a long time, I didn't eat any chocolate at all. And I think sometimes we grieve these things, go through an emotional process of actually grieving the loss of things. And that's okay, because we're human beings and, we can sort of, realize that this is something that we have to let go of. But I remember reading something written by Mrs. Billy Graham, and she was talking about something changing in her life, some situation that was different, and she was grieving the loss of it. But she said that she came to the to the idea that life without that thing was going to be different, but that it was okay. Yes, it would be different, but it would be okay. And I think that that helped me a lot, because it was just a very positive way to think about it. And of course, we don't need chocolate to survive. We don't need those sort of things. And life without, some of the things we've been used to, yes, it is a little bit different. But actually, it is okay. We do survive.
All righty.
So I think that's probably the end of my story. I could talk a lot about herbal medicine, which I'm... But that is not the subject that we're on.
Okay, well, let me say this, okay? What I'm coming away from here What I'm coming away from is something that I always say. Moderation when you get better, okay? Always moderation when you get better, or you're going to wind up getting sick again. Okay.
That's absolutely right, isn't it?
Yeah, it is right. I mean, moderation does not mean never. It means moderation. And then everybody wishes they were better sooner than they get better. Everybody. Okay? There's nobody who I deal with today who is not frustrated about being here for 2 years, 2.5 years. It's just the way it is. It took all those years for you to do all those things to take your body out. So if it takes 2 or 3 years to get your body back, well, once you get it back, you sure the hell gonna want to keep it. Now, ain't that the truth, Ruth?
That's absolutely right. And you know, it's very easy to, I think, to slip into bad habits. And so, yes, to constantly think, you know, well, what is moderation? And, you know, so that's why I limit myself to just that little bit of chocolate. That's why I limit myself to 2 cups of coffee, limit myself not cheese, you know, too often. Just trying to sort of keep a balance to things.
By the way, my very favorite cheese is the English cheddar that's like 120, 180 days aged.
Yeah, I like cheddar.
Oh, I love cheddar. It's better with cheddar.
Yes.
All right, are there any questions before we allow this wonderful guest? Now, she told her story a lot different than others, and I think that's really great. And the fact that I kept quiet most of the time was even better. All right, here he is again from merry old New England. Come on in, Don.
Okay, yeah, Ruth, I was wondering if you had night sweats or anxiety involved. Night sweats or anxiety. Did you have either one of those?
So I caught a hold of anxiety. What else was it?
Night sweats.
Night sweats, yeah. Well, thing is, you're talking to a woman of a certain age. So I did have night sweats, but I, you know, but that was part of going through the menopause as well, or was it? I don't know.
Night sweats, very common.
Yeah.
It's a time when our body is fighting infection and the two are raging.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. Sweats, very common.
Right. So I suppose at the time I just put it down to just hormonal changes. But yeah, absolutely. Yes, so Donald, I did have the night sweats. I think that in the initial months, I had a huge amount of anxiety. You know, when you realize what has happened to you, what you've got, when you realize that there's no help from, you know, medicine that you've tended to trust and put your hope in, and you realize that you're on your own, and it's hugely scary, isn't it? So I used to have trouble sleeping at the beginning. I think I used to sort of... I used to dose myself up with some sort of herb that would help me sleep, and you know, but would really struggled at the beginning. Would wake up, you know, in the morning just completely sort of scared. So this was in the early days. I found that my anxiety lessened once I found, you know, Mel's website to be the right place to be. Because I think that I found hope at that point, and that really did lessen my anxiety. I did pray, you know, about it. I joined in the Sunday prayer calls when I could, and found that really helpful. And just really tried to trust God with the outcome. As I said, I felt that my job was to do everything in the protocol as absolutely the right way as I could, and then trust God with the outcome, just knowing that I'd done, you know, what I could. to get better. But I know it's not easy, and I know it's just a horrible, horrible situation. How long have you been ill with it, Donald, and how long have you been on the protocol?
Yeah, I've had it for about 4 years. I've been on the protocol about two and a half years.
2.5 years, yeah. It's a long haul, you see. I think you have perhaps had the disease a bit longer before you started the protocol, and I'm sure Mel's talked to you about that. And just don't give up.
He had tremendous mold issue, which he's almost eradicated to the way I think. But then his co-infection, which was Lyme, has reared its ugly head. And he's having a tough struggle at the moment again. And, of course, you know, he wants it to be over, and like everybody did. But, you know, sometimes it takes longer with certain people because of extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I think, Donald, don't give up hope. Just keep sticking at it. Just keep plodding on. You know, when I was climbing that mountain, you know, and sometimes, you know, just you're looking down at your feet and you're just plodding on and you don't know how far up the mountain you are. You just stick one foot in front of the other. Just keep doing it. You know, and just sort of keep doing it. Don't give up and you'll get there. I believe that you'll get there.
I have a last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Skype calls help?
Skype calls help tremendously because you see people. So I remember you linked me up with Lynn. So apart from talking to you, which was great, you know, to put a face, I know I've seen your photographs on the website, but just to see you and talk to you, and the fact that you could see me and, you know, and see how I was, you know, physically, that's a huge help. And talking to Lynn, it just stops a lot of the loneliness. It stops a lot of the isolation. Yes, much more than just talking to somebody on the phone. Big difference.
Because we tell people that Skype is a tremendous asset and it's free. You know, and I get the people who get to see me, okay, they listen better. Now, maybe it's because, you know, I represent my appearance as a much younger person than my age, so it makes it easier to do what he says. Look at him. You know what I mean? I always thought with you Skyping, first of all, it was always fun to make you laugh because I could see you laugh. And then I remember, I remember the day I told you, you actually looked great. And you said, I think I'm almost better.
I think, be brave. People have got to be brave and do the Skype. Even, you know, I think we're all getting better at technology. We're getting better at Zooming, aren't we, now this year? And getting, you know, WhatsApp calls. We're kind of getting over that sort of fear of, you know, I mean, maybe when we're ill, it's a little bit tough, but just sort of being able to see people. And I think you're right, Mel, that seeing somebody telling you to do something as well as hearing it, it's like a double thing. It's going to come across stronger and it's going to go into the brain, memory better.
I always felt that way. I'm a visual person because of my growing up in the modeling industry. But for me, you know, you can tell me everything. If you send me an email and I read it, for some reason it's going to stick in there better. So I always think typing is a huge benefit to everyone, okay? Because I can see your progress. Okay, I remember the day I told you looked great. You were shocked, but you said, I think I'm almost better. I remember. All right.
You kind of get used to it. Hmm?
Say what now? What did you say?
No, it's okay. Go on.
No,
and, well, I was going to say, the thing is, when you heal, you get used to looking a sight. You just get used to the fact that you look a bit of a mess. So, yeah, to having somebody say that you look great was just wonderful.
Okay, well, it was true. You really, you know, it was like a big, it was, I think, I don't know, I hadn't talked to you in about 6 to 8 weeks or something anyway. I was really, I was so happy for you. All right, is there anything you'd like to say in closing to the group? Is there anything you'd like to say, Ruth, in closing to the group?
In closing, just be encouraged, everybody, that you're in a wonderful place here with Mel. And, you know, without Mel, we would be in such a difficult situation. So just do everything he says. And if he gets cross with you, just know he's just, you know, wanting the very, very best for you. And, you know, and if you get a bit narky, you know, just remember that it's all to help you get better. And Mel, you know, for you, it's just a big, big thank you, and for reaching out to me, you know, across the sea, letting me be a part of the family. It's, you know, just a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Well, thank you for always willing to come back and share and pay it forward. And, you know, you have a special place in my heart because you were the first that we really helped in England and got all better. And for me, that's what my job is. I have to get hockey stick out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sometimes we need it.
All right. God bless and thank you so, so very much. Let me unmute everybody so we can all say a big thank you to Ruth. How about it? Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you,
Ruth.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed your talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth.
All right, everybody, have a safe day, a good day. We'll be back tomorrow with prayer and fellowship, as we do every Sunday. And as you might or might not know, next Saturday we have Kathy from Clean Green. And then the following Saturday we have the big contest. And during the week, this week, or maybe even tomorrow if I can get it done in time, we'll announce what the prizes are going to be in each category. Thanks again, Ruth. God bless you, honey. Everybody who came to the call, thanks for coming.
Thanks
for the questions. Yes, someone wants to say something? Guess not. All right, we'll see you all soon. God bless. Have a safe day. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mel.
Thanks, Mel. Bye.
Thank you.